Good morning, everyone. It is good to see you. Today, we're going to be talking about death. Can I get a woohoo? Yeah, that's a pretty fake one, right? Now, isn't that an interesting subject? We're going to be talking about, the name of this series is going to be called Afterlife. Afterlife. We're going to be talking about life. We're going to be talking about death. And we're going to be talking about what comes after life and death, which we call afterlife. And I brought a couple of chairs as kind of an illustration today to kind of help me get my brain around it, because this whole idea of life, death, and then eternity, it's so hard for us to get our minds around. And I was just trying to ask God, I'm going, God, how do you explain this? How do I understand it? How can we understand it? And if we did, if we could somehow or another over the next 3 or 4 weeks really understand how God created us in a way where we're on this pathway, this bridge, and how life and death and afterlife aren't separate things, but they're all one connected thing. And so I want to talk about that today. I thought about John 3:16, you know, kind of the verse for Christianity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that no one can perish, right? So that everyone can have everlasting life. I mean, it's what Christianity is about, this idea of everlasting life. So let's start with the chair illustration, because I kind of just set this up because I was going, you know, how do I show it? And I use these two chairs just so that you can imagine kind of a bridge, okay? Can you imagine that kind of bridge right here with these chairs? I didn't have a bridge, but this kind of gives you the feeling. With a bridge, you kind of have the own ramp, and then you come across, and then you come down the other side. And I kind of thought, you know, maybe this can illustrate life. And this can illustrate afterlife. And the way that God created it, where those two things were together. That it wasn't two separate things, but there's this continuous bridge. It's amazing how God gives us illustrations just in our life. I've been going to the hospital a lot with my dad recently. And as I went to the hospital in Tomball, it was at Willowbrook. I would get on 99, and I would drive down 99, and I would take that little off-ramp onto Tomball area. And right there, they're building this big Mixmaster. Have y'all seen that? You know, it's all these different bridges and roads coming together. And there's something awe-inspiring about it. As you just think, wow, how much engineering had to go into that? How much? Because they don't just build it like this. What they do is they build this side, and then they build this side, and then they kind of connect them in the middle. And there were a couple of those places where I saw this side coming up, and I saw this side going down, but there was that big gap in between that. And I just thought, okay, you know, if I was driving on that, you know, if I got up on there, you know, I would feel pretty comfortable, you know, going up the ramp, and I would feel pretty comfortable going down the ramp, but the gap in between would cause me a lot of stress, right? I thought, man, you know, you might be driving along it, and you might say, I fully believe that the on-ramp is good, and I fully believe that the off-ramp is good, but it's this gap in the middle that causes me a lot of concern. And then I started thinking, I think God was just kind of working on me. And he said, Blake, is that the way that you view your life in view of eternity? Is that the way you view your life in view of eternity? Are you pretty comfortable about the on-ramp? That you know, your life, you know, it's happening. There's not a lot I can do about it, but you know, I'm comfortable here in my life, and I'm pretty comfortable about the off-ramp. You know, I've heard about heaven, heard about the streets of gold, heard about, you know, perfection, and I kind of go, maybe I don't understand it all, but I'm pretty comfortable with that thought of the off-ramp. But there is this gap where I just go, I don't understand how I get from here to there, and I don't understand how these two things fit together. And so I kind of live my life like these unfinished mix masters, where I just go, I feel real comfortable coming up to this point, and I'm pretty sure that this is going to work after there, but those two things are kind of separate. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to focus in on this, right? I'm going to put money back so that while I'm here, I can enjoy all of this. I'm going to build my nice house. I'm going to enjoy all the things that this world has to offer. And it's almost like I'm so concentrated on this, but it doesn't mean I don't believe in this. It's just that, well, there's this gap. And I can't in my mind see how those two things work as a solid bridge. I don't know how to bring them together. So instead of just thinking about this in my life, I'm actually start thinking about this in my life, because it's all connected. That's what would happen if I could bring my bridge together. But I think so many of us are so focused on our life that we don't see how it connects to our afterlife. And it causes us to focus on the wrong things. That's what we're going to talk about for the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks. We're going to talk about how our life here on earth connects with our afterlife. How what we do in our life connects with what happens in the afterlife. We're going to talk about how Peter says you can get through this with the hope of this. That this impacts this, and this impacts this, and it's one connected thing, and it's not two separate things. In fact, you know, the Bible says that sin separated us from God, right? I mean, the whole thought of Jesus' resurrection from the dead is that his body paid the price to make sure that was solid. And his blood was the covenant that said, you can trust this, that this is all connected. We'll walk through all this as we go over the next few weeks. But today, first I just want to say, it's important. It's important how you view life and death, and the connection between life and death, for you to succeed in this life. It's important. I think we all know that. We all have this idea of, you know, I know that I'm focused on my life right now, but there's something in me that says I need to find out what happens after I die. I know this because you can go to any bookstore, right? It's not just Christians. Any bookstore you go to, it's not hard on the most popular books to find some kind of book that talks about the afterlife. Whether it's heaven, like Christians believe, or maybe some people, you'll see some books that talk about, you know, maybe a different viewpoint. You know, some people, the way they view the afterlife is you just get another chance at life again. You're just in this big circle, and you go round and round and round until you get it right. You know, you might come back as a rock or a goat or something else. That's one way to think about it. You know, other people just think, man, I think everything ends. I don't think there is a other side of the bridge. And so, you know, they come back and say, you just got to focus on this side of the bridge. You know, there is nothing. There is a void. You know, as Christians, we believe in heaven. We believe that as a Christian, if you believe in Jesus Christ, that if you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, then that eternal life is guaranteed through his blood. But even us, you know, we kind of want more information, right? Streets of gold. What does that look like? You know, I kind of like the idea of streets of gold, but, you know, I don't know that it's hard for me to think, okay, what does that mean? Is that just a symbolism of easiness or opulence? You know, what is Streets of Gold or the heavenly choir? I can't sing. So if I'm in heaven and there's a heavenly choir, do I just miss out on that? I mean, I don't know. I remember one author one time I read, he said he really loves Moses. But he said, I already know everything I need to know about Moses. He said, I know he's going to be in heaven. I can talk to him. But he said, I got his life story right here. He said, I just don't know if that's going to give me enough things to do in heaven. And we all kind of, you know, you kind of go, is heaven just pearly gates and golden road and meeting Old Testament characters? And then, of course, there's the opposite of heaven, right? Hell. And we're going to talk about hell in this study. What does hell mean? What does the scripture say about hell? But I tell you, if anything, hell is a motivator, right? That even if you don't fully understand heaven, you don't want hell. And so you kind of go, okay, I need some fire insurance, you know, so I don't want to go to hell, so I'll choose heaven instead and just kind of hope that the pearly gates and everything like that. But here's what I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to say that by the end of this series, you move from, I don't really understand heaven, I don't know what it's about, you know, I'm just not going to think about it. I want you to move from, hey, heaven is just fire insurance, and it's just, I want you to move to this thought that God created you for a journey. And your journey starts right here in life. And then as you cross over, your journey doesn't stop, but your journey just moves you into the perfect position that God wants you in. And that's an eternal relationship with Him. And as you start seeing your life not as something separate, not as something you don't understand, what I hope happens is that you start getting excited about death. Now, that's weird, right? Now, I don't want you to go kill yourself. Don't get me wrong. But excited about this thought that when I die, it's not that there's a whole separate thing and then there's a big chasm in between, but that I'm going to close my eyes here on earth and I'm going to open my eyes and I'm going to see Jesus, and then I'm going to be in a perfect place where God, I am fully fulfilled as God created me. And instead of being afraid of death, I'm going to be looking forward to it. Right? How can you look forward to death? Well, you've got to figure out that there's not the gap. You know, I would be perfectly fine driving up that Mixmaster if there wasn't a gap. And I want to bring that to you to say, drive in your life in such a way where you realize you don't have to be fearful that there's a gap there. That Jesus paid for it. And you're on this journey that's going to take you all the way across the bridge. We can look in the book of John where God says, Jesus said, I'm going ahead of you. I'm going to prepare a place. And it's going to be a place just for you. We're moving towards a new heaven and an earth. We're moving towards a paradise. And as we grab that picture, what I think will happen is it can dynamically change your life right now. Instead of just living for the life part, you're living for the whole journey that God has you on all the way through eternity. Look, we'll talk about in this series, is there a hell? Is there a heaven? What happens in between? But today, I just want to get you with this simple idea, this simple thought, one point. Hey, I'm making your life easy when you put it on the internet. There's one point to the sermon, and that's what it is. You are on a bridge, and you're headed towards death. You're on a bridge right now, and you're headed towards death. And how you view death makes all the difference in your life. Take that for a second. If you want to, you can look around the room. Every person in here is on the bridge of life headed towards death. We can act like it's the elephant in the room. Some of you are a lot closer than me. You know who I'm looking at. some of you are a lot farther away from me, and I'll be having a lot of daisies being pushed up by the time some of them get. But some of you are going to beat me. But every one of us is on the road to death. Listen, I don't see any little bitty babies. Within 80 to 90 years, every one of us will have a funeral in this room. Unless Jesus comes back. Every single person in this room is heading towards your own funeral. I went to a funeral this week. I went to Chuck Prouse's funeral. Some of y'all might have been at Chuck Prouse. Listen, I kind of watched that funeral. I said, I want some of that at my funeral. Because they are a Southern gospel family with a excited, you know, kind of music style. And Trey and Chloe and Chuck's dad and Chuck's brother all got up and just let joy loose at that funeral. And you kind of go, well, the only way you can let joy loose as a funeral is to understand that this is just a journey. That death isn't some unknown gap right. That death is just the time where Chuck closed his eyes on this earth and opened his eyes in heaven, and that journey just kept on going. Just kept on. I mean, that's the only way. Can you imagine what it's going to be like at your funeral? Somebody, whether it's your son or your daughter or your niece or your nephew, your co-worker, your friend, your husband, or your wife, they're going to stand up at your funeral, and they're going to tell the story of your life. Everyone in this room is going to have that. And here's my question today. When someone stands up at your funeral and talks about your life, are they going to talk about a life that was just focused on the here and now? Are they going to talk about a life that was focused on everything that God had for? How do you want your funeral preached? How will people tell your story? How are you living your life? Are you living your life in view of eternity? Or are you living your life in fear of the gap? How are you doing? Yeah, life is so interesting. A few months back, we started hearing this heartbeat bill that they're trying to pass in Texas. I think they did pass it, right? The heartbeat bill. Now, do y'all know what that is? You know, for those who are pro-life, who are against abortion, it was a simple thing that someone said. Let's pass the law in Texas that if you can hear a heartbeat, then let's don't abort that baby. Do you know when they could start hearing a heartbeat? Does anybody know what that is? What was it? 6 weeks. Sometimes maybe even 5 weeks or 4 weeks. But right at that 6-week mark, you can go and look it up in those little baby books, right? What to expect when you're expecting. And you go to week number 6. Excuse me. I think Satan's trying to get me there. When you go to week number 6, the baby is the size of a raisin, all right? The size of a raisin, but it's starting to look like a little human raisin, okay? It's the size of a raisin, and as they put that little sonogram down, and normally they don't at 6 weeks, but if they do, that little raisin, somehow or another, in that 6 weeks, now walk with me through. But somehow or another, in that very early, early stage, the little heart in the raisin starts going, bum, 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 bum. Okay, so here's my first question. How does it start? How does it start? They should write on the 6 week, God does an amazing miracle where some electricity from the mom somehow flows into this little raisin-sized human being and makes that little heartbeat start beating at 6 weeks old. And from that moment, when that heart starts beating. It just continues. Isn't that an incredible thing? I mean, right now, every one of you, your heart has been beating basically nonstop since you were 6 weeks from conception. And it just keeps going and going and going. Guys, you live a miracle. How does it do that? How does God start it? But listen, I want you to know, I was sitting in the hospital with my dad, and they had all those things hooked up to him, right? They had the thing measuring his blood pressure and measuring his heartbeat. And you, sometimes you would just sit there and watch it, and you kind of go, is it going to keep going? Is it going to keep going? Is it going to keep going? And here's the thought, that God gives us miraculously, for some reason, this time from when we're 6 weeks old until some point when our heart stops beating, to do something. This heart just keeps going and going and going. And the question is, what do you do in that time from that heart starts beating till the time the heart stops? Now, sometimes, you know, it's kind of short, right? Some people don't have a very long life. Some people have a much longer life, and it stretches out for 100 years. But no matter what, from 6 weeks old to some point, your heart suddenly stops. And I love what Louis Giglio said. Louis Giglio, he did a message, and he just went to a cemetery. And he went from cemetery to, and he looked at all the different gravestones. And he said, you know, some of them were born in 1850 and died in 1920. Some were born in 1890 and died in 19 whatever. Some of them, you know, even some of the newer ones that were born in 1940 and died in 2010. You know, he just looked at all the different ones. And he said, I saw one thing in common with every gravestone. The dash. There was a dash. And he said, it's amazing that you live this entire life, but on your tombstone, what represents your entire life is that one dash. That one dash. And as we start talking about what happens after life, I want to make sure that you hear that your life doesn't start in the afterlife. Your life's already started now. And it's going to continue through and into the afterlife. But I want to ask you, are you focusing in on what you're doing with your dash right now? You know, are you focused in not on your dash being something to just say, let's make everything great, but is my dash looking at things with an eternal vision? In fact, I think sometimes that's why we have death. You know, we could say, like, you know, why is there death in life? And we can get theological and say, well, you know, part of the reason we have death in life is because of the Garden of Eden, where sin started. Part of the death in life is because we're sinners and the wages of sin is death. But I think in a lot of ways, God allows death to happen to remind us that it's part of our journey. It's going to keep on going afterwards. But that death reminds us that we all have a dash that we've got to be working on. In fact, you know, when you go to a funeral, do you ever come out of there going, boy, I need to change the way I'm living? You go, man, maybe I need to get a little healthier. Maybe I need to love my family a little bit more. Maybe I should be more bold about my faith. Maybe I should. There's something about God leaving death, although death has no victory over us, although death is not some gap, but God leaves the death there to wake us up to say, hey, this dash you've got, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? I've talked a long time, and you kind of say, Blake, when are you going to hit some scripture? And there's only going to be one scripture really today. Luke 12:13. Do y'all realize that Jesus talked so much about life, but he also talked equally as much about afterlife? this one connected thought of how each flows in to the other. Jesus talked about death. Jesus talked about heaven. Jesus talked about hell. Jesus talked about the kingdom of God. And here in Luke 12, 13, I just want to show you this. And we'll come back to this later on as we talk about death a little bit more in some of the other sermons. But in verse 14, no, let's start with 13. In verse 12, chapter 12, verse 13, it says, someone in the crowd said to him, Jesus, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. So here's Jesus, the Son of God, who's come to die for our sins, to make this beautiful bridge into eternity for us. And as he's here among people, and as he's telling people about God's love and about heaven, and what do the people ask him? I got a problem with my brother. I need you to set that boy straight, right? I need you to let him know what he can't cheat me like that. And he said, my brother got an inheritance, and I think he's doing me wrong. And he goes up to Jesus, and he said, tell my brother to give me my money. It's kind of focused on here. You know, he said, Jesus, I've got an earth question for you. And Jesus replied, man, who appointed me judge or an arbitrator between y'all two? Then he said to them, watch out. He said, I'm hearing you. And he said, you're focused in on earth problems. You're focused in on minor things. And he said to them, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. He said, you got an issue here. I've got this bridge for you, and I've got this incredible eternity of streets of gold, of heaven, of an eternal connection with your Maker, and you're sitting here and you're worried about possession. He said, why are you so worried about possession? He said, your life does not just consist of possession. He said, you're just on the life track. You're just seeing this as the whole picture. He said, I want you to see this as the picture. And so he tells the parable. And the parable goes like this. He told them this parable in verse 16. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. So this guy got real rich. Even richer, because he was already a rich man. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. So he's already rich, and he gets more stuff. Now, I've got some ideas for him. Feed other people. You know, take it to warm. Let them distribute it among the poor. Find something to do with this abundance of overflowing wealth. But here was his thing. He said, I don't know where to store it. I want to keep the wealth. I want to keep it so that I've got more stuff and more stuff and more stuff. And so he said, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. And he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. I mean, that makes sense, right? If this is what it's all about, if just this is what it's all about, he makes really good sense. I've got a whole bunch of grain. I've got some more years I need to live. So I'm going to build a great big barn and store all of it. And I'm just going to be able to live life easy. And everything's going to be good. And I've got everything I need. But God said to him, you fool. What? I don't want God to look at me and say, you fool. You ever think about that? Is the way you're living your life, God's going to look at you one day and go, "You fool." That's what he said to this guy. He said, "You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then you will get what you have prepared for yourself." He said this. He said, "You were preparing for this. You should have been preparing for this." And he said, "Tonight, it's going to happen. And all your beautiful pictures of big barns and how everything is going to be so easy and nice." He said, "Because you're all focused about this and have not focused on this at all. You've lived your life for this and you've put nothing over here." And he said, "This very night, while you're going, 'What? I want to build a bigger barn.'" He said, "This very night, your life is going to be demanded of you and what you have prepared for yourself. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God." Are you rich towards God? Are you seeing your life right now that it's this continuous journey? And listen, I don't want to get on what's in your 401k or what's in your retirement, or is it okay to retire and to travel. I think all those things are good if at the same time you're going, this is part of the journey, but I also need to be focused in on what I'm doing that has eternal value. What do I have that is eternal? How many people do we know? How many people do we know that put back money to travel and to love and just have a great time in retirement, and then all of a sudden cancer hit? All of a sudden they can't travel, or their spouse passes away. And we have this whole picture of this is the way life should be. And God says, no. Listen, if you're focused in on just life, you're going to get disappointed. If you're focused in on just life, I guarantee it's not going to work out like you think it's going to work out. But as you look at life as a way to invest into what's going on, he said, put up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust doesn't come and get it. When your heartbeats run out, what will you look back and say, "Well, I wish I had happened. I wish I had done this. I wish I had thought about this." I think there's an interesting scripture we'll look a little bit closer at, just a few chapters over in Luke chapter 14. You don't have to turn there right now, but it's the story of a rich man that dies. And he goes to hell. And I always thought it was interesting. When he's in hell in this parable, it's just a parable, it's just a story. But when he's in hell, he asks for two things. Number one thing he asked for is, "God, if you could just get someone to dip your finger, in some water and just touch my lips because I'm suffering." He said, "I'm suffering." So first thing, he asked for something selfish, right? But the second thing is what blows me away. He doesn't ask for God to take him away from there, because I think by that time he understands that his sin has brought him to that point. What he does say is, "I sure do wish that somebody from this side could come back over to this side and go to my family and go to my sons and to go to my friends and tell them that life isn't just about this, it's all about this." He said, "I just wish that somebody could come back and tell them, don't live your life just for this, that there's an afterlife, there's a more to the journey. In fact, the journey on the other side is much longer than this journey. The journey on this side is just a vapor, the Bible says. The journey on this side is just a temporary tent, the scriptures say, that leads into an eternity that as you come down that side of the bridge and you keep going 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 into eternity and you just keep on going. That's what's on the other side of death. And for some reason, we focus on this side of death. For some reason. What I want to challenge you with over the next 4 weeks is for us to focus on the other side. To understand that it's not just about death. That there is more to the story than that. In fact, it's exactly why Jesus Christ came. Your challenge today is to remember you're on the bridge and you're heading towards your funeral. And are you focused on this part? Are you focused on that part? Are you thinking about, hey, how can I take care of me and mine here? Or are you thinking about how can I take care of me and mine and everybody that comes into my path to help them get to this side that keeps going and going and going? Jesus paid a price for us to do that. You know, the wages of sin is death. There's the gap. But the gift of God through Jesus, that eternal life. And Jesus said this. He said two things. In fact, we're going to have our Lord's Supper right now. So I'm going to bring our men up to have our Lord's Supper. So my servants who are coming forward to help bring this out. Guys, what happened here to make that gap work is something that Jesus talked about to his disciples on the last day. As he's having his last time with his disciples, it's just a little bit farther over in Luke. In Luke 22, Jesus comes in front of his disciples. And in Luke 22, it says, and he took the bread, and he gave thanks for it, and he broke it, and he said to them, this is my body given for you. And he said, do this in remembrance. And that's interesting language, right? And we talked about this the last time. We are so prone to forget what Jesus did. Jesus said, do something to remember that I bridged that gap so that you don't have to worry anymore about death. You don't have to worry anymore about the drop-off. That you can just say, life is this journey on into eternity, and I'm going to live it like that. Because Jesus said, I'll pay the price for your sins. He said, that's what my body's for. And then he talked about his blood. And he said, with his blood, he said, in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this is the cup in the new covenant. It's my blood which is poured out for you. This covenant thought is God saying, I promise this is true. You don't have to worry. I've made a blood covenant with you that my death was enough to bridge that gap. Well, you don't have to live in fear of what's going to happen. So as we take the elements today, I'm just praying for you that you see how God said, I don't want you to live a life just focused on here and now, but I'm sending my son so that you can understand there is eternal life for all of us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just want to just thank you today that you've designed for us eternity. God, it's not about 70, 80, 90 years. But God, it's all about forever with you. God, as we take these elements, God, I pray that you just help us to search our hearts. Father, where that selfishness is, where that focus on here and now is, Father, help us to ask forgiveness for that, to push it aside, and to see what life's all about. Father, just bless these elements as we take the Lord's Supper together. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.